I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. It's time for our Friday features, and just in time, too, because I seem to be losing my voice, for which I apologize. Later in Faith Matters, we will talk a bit more about clergy sexual abuse and why and how it happens. Of course, we're bouncing off that story in the news involving allegations against a prominent pastor out of Atlanta. But first, to the White House, where big changes are underway. President Obama accepts the resignation of his chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, who is expected to launch a run for mayor of Chicago. This was Rahm Emanuel today at the announcement at the White House.
I'm energized by the prospect of new challenges and eager to see what I can do to make our hometown even greater. These are unprecedented and great times in Chicago, Mr. President. The Chicago Bears are 3-0.
As he was in the East Room today, Rahm Emanuel has been at the president's side since Obama took office. The White House is expected to name another Obama aide, Peter Rouse, as the next chief of staff. And in a moment, we will take a look at a few congressional contests that meet at the intersection of politics and race. But first, we want to welcome our guests. Mary Mitchell is a columnist for the Chicago Sun-Times. She's at member station WBEZ in Chicago. And with us is NPR's political editor, Ken Rudin, right here in our Washington, D.C. studio. Welcome. Thanks
Hi,
for
Michelle.
Joining us.
Thank you.
Ken's ready to leap in if my voice really goes down and carry the ball for the rest of the show. So, Mary, let's start with you. How is this news being viewed there?
Well, it's big news. I mean, Rahm Emanuel having not even, got one campaign petition signature has gotten big headlines, starting with his comment some time ago that he would like to run for the mayor of Chicago, which, by the way, was the first indication to me that Mayor Daley was not running, because there's no way that he would have even whispered such a thing unless he thought Mayor Daley wasn't running. So he's gotten all this free publicity, and now he's going to even get in a sort of anointing from, and not a real anointing, but sort of an anointing when the president of the United States gives you a send-off, a glowing review.
Well, he is a former member of Congress, Mary. It's not like he just walked in from, you know, brown bagging groceries at the store. I mean, come on. I mean,
there's a lot of members of Congress. There's lots of members of Congress. I mean, you can take them off. I mean, Danny Davis is a member of Congress and has been for a long time, and yet he does not get this kind of publicity. This is huge in Chicago. I mean, every day there's a story about Rahm Emanuel, and the thing here is that down the road, what the other people who will get into this race will complain about is that he's already anointed as the mayor of Chicago.
Well, tell me about who some of the other candidates might be. Who are the other potential candidates?
Well, the Chicago Sun-Times did a recent poll in which they found that Cook County Sheriff Tom Dart, and that's Tom Dart who was really in charge of trying to straighten out the mess of the Burr Oak Cemetery scandal, that he came in first among some people who said they would vote, or at least they had a choice. And following him was Illinois State Senator James Meeks, who runs a very, very huge church and built a large 10,000 stadium facility in Chicago, runs a school, that sort of thing, and has been a champion of education. You have Luis Gutierrez, who is a representative in Congress. He only came in at 9%. And interesting enough, White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel came in behind Representative Jesse Jackson Jr., whose name has really been suffered a beating with the whole Rod Blagojevich scandal. So that's kind of interesting.
Okay. So, Ken, Rahm Emanuel's been known as an aggressive player on behalf of the White House.
That's one way of putting it.
One way of putting it. I don't know what else to say. So what do you think his departure means for the administration? And also, would you just pick up on Mary's point that I take it that this is not hateration on your part, that he's getting this big
Why
send
would
out.
I have hateration?
Well, I don't know why the president. What's the president supposed to do? Like, let him just leave out the back with
well,
his
no,
lunch in a
I'm
paper
saying,
sack and not say goodbye? I'm not sure what he's
no,
supposed
no,
to do.
No, but I'm just saying it does raise the idea that he's getting a lot of free publicity.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with free publicity, but it is what it is.
Okay, Ken, so tell me what effect this you think this will have on the White House.
Well, he was the ideal chief of staff. He has an administrative experience in having served in the Clinton White House. He had, of course, legislative experience. He was the chairman of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee in in 2006 when the Democrats got enough seats to win control of the House, make Nancy Pelosi Speaker. So he was, look, for all of Barack Obama's lack of experience, he was only elected in 2004 and started running for president 15 minutes later. Rahm Emanuel really gave him that wherewithal to avoid the minefields of Washington. But having said that, he's been a very effective chief of staff. There was no decision in the White House, be it Afghanistan, be it health care, that Rahm Emanuel didn't have his fingerprints on. Now, we could talk about what that means for Chicago, and it may not mean as much for Chicago as it does in Washington. But the thing is, if we're going to replace Rahm Emanuel with Pete Rouse, well, you know, I mean, that's fine. Everybody likes Pete Rouse. He was Obama's chief of staff when he was in the Senate. He's now the deputy to Rahm Emanuel in the White House. But if there are major problems with the Obama administration, given the numbers and given what could be a shellacking on November 2nd, is Pete Rouse the way to go? Is it still politics as usual, or does he make a complete break? If you make a complete break, you don't go with Pete Rouse.
And finally, Mary, there are just a couple of other hot races there in Illinois, not just in Chicago, but the governor's race, the Senate race there. How are those shaping up?
To be very, very close, horse races, as a matter of fact. We have a governor who is kind of governor by default, Pat Quinn, who is running a very, very tight race against his Republican challenger, Bill Brady. No one would have thunk it, given the fact that usually the incumbent has such a huge lead, but Bill Brady has been able to narrow that down. We have Alexis Janulis, who has the support of President Obama. He is a friend and a basketball friend. And he is running behind his challengers, Mark Kirk, and that's surprising also. So these are interesting races to watch.
All right. Well, thanks for keeping us posted, Mary.
Thank you.
Mary Mitchell is a columnist for the Chicago Sun-Times, and she joins us from member station WBEZ there. Ken, why don't you stay with us for a couple more minutes and talk about some of the other congressional races that are getting attention, in part because they seem sort of unusually explosive in one way, and particularly around issues of race and ethnicity. First is this race between Democratic Congresswoman Loretta Sanchez and Republican Van Tran in California's 47th district. Now, Sanchez is the daughter of Mexican immigrants, and her challenger, Tran, is a Vietnamese-American. If I look at it, he would be only the second Vietnamese-American to serve in the Congress. Last week, Sanchez got into some hot water for a comment she made on Univision, the Spanish-language television network. I'm going to play it, and then I'm going to give you the translation. It's translated by our own Luis Clemens. Here's what she had to say.
Y los vietnameses y los republicanos están con una intensidad de quitar este puesto que ya nosotros hemos hecho tanto para nuestra comunidad.
Now, what she's saying here is the Vietnamese and the Republicans are, with an intensity, trying to take this seat from which we've done so much for our community. So, Ken, why do you think that this caused? Why this cause sparked such an outcry?
Well, look at it the other way. Let's just say if there was a white congressman somewhere and said, look, the blacks and the Democrats are trying to beat me. I mean, you throw in ethnicity and race and you automatically get in trouble. And Loretta Sanchez was kind of she broke the mold in 1996. This had once been a longtime conservative district. Bob Dornan, the very famous Bob Dornan, used to hold this seat when it was a very white conservative district. And, you know, so for somebody who made strides, historic strides when she first won in 1996, to now say that the Vietnamese are trying to come in and take the seat that belongs to me, well, the Vietnamese community, which makes about 25% of that district, were really up in arms about it.
And, interestingly enough, I think you can hear she's actually struggling a little bit, that with her Spanish is not as strong as it could be. And I wonder in part whether she's struggling for her words. I don't even know if that matters. Is that a credible explanation?
Well, she did apologize, of course, and she did say, well, that's not what I meant. But, of course, there are four Vietnamese television stations in the district. There are, more and more money. Van Tran is really the strongest candidate. She usually wins by 20, 30 points. She's never had a problem. And I don't think she's ever expected this to happen. But the Vietnamese-American community is growing rapidly in that district. And I think she hears footsteps.
And, it's interesting. That taking note of another district, the 2nd District of Louisiana, where Republican Anne Gao, who is the first Vietnamese American elected to Congress, is facing Democratic challenger Cedric Richmond. Now, Anh Gao was never expected to take this seat. I mean, first of all, he's a Republican. It's a predominantly African-American Democratic district. He actually, of all the Republicans, has voted with Obama with the Democrats more than any other. How do you size up this race?
Well, you're absolutely right. This is a 61% black district, a 66% Democratic district. The only reason we're talking about Joe Gao being a Republican, and the thought of a Republican in this New Orleans-based district is nuts, but his opponent in 2008 was William Jefferson, the cash in the freezer story, who was under indictment at the time, but since convicted on felony counts. So a lot of Democrats said, look, you know, maybe we race is important, but integrity is even more important. And Bill Jefferson was finally voted out by the narrowest of margins. Now, Cedric Richmond is a state representative. He is strong in the African American community. And, you know, in this big, big Republican year, we're looking at Joe Gao may be one of the two most vulnerable Republicans in the country.
And finally, I wanted to take a quick look at not enough time. It deserves much more time than that. The Senate race in Florida between Charlie Crist, who was once a rising star in the Republican Party.
Now
switched to independent status was pushed out by party favorite Marco Rubio, who's also running for the seat. And then there's Democratic Kendrick Meek, who comes from a long line of African-American politicians in the state. So how do you size that one up?
Well, here's what's interesting. Kendrick Meek, of course, has a strong endorsement of President Obama, Bill Clinton, but there's obviously dissension in the Democratic ranks. Robert Wexler, the former congressman, very big in the Jewish community, is now a lobbyist on a Mideast think tank. He endorsed Crist the other day. Charlie Whitehead, the former Democratic state chairman, endorsed Crist the other day. The fact that more and more Democrats are going to Crist instead of Meek, who is the Democratic Party nominee, Meek has done nothing.
What does that say? What did he do?
Well, I don't know what it's saying.
They don't like him, or they just think Crist is a better candidate?
Well, the point is usually the members of the Democratic Party don't leave their party to back an independent candidate. And plus the fact that a few months ago, Charlie Crist was just talking about how conservative he was and how much he loved Republicans until Marco Rubio pushed him out, and now he became a favorite to the Democrats. So that's kind of strange how the Democrats may be jumping ship from Meek. And the only thing that means is that it helps Marco Rubio win.
Really? Well, we'll see. That's an interesting thing. Well, maybe this would be score one for the independent. You know, never know. Never know. It's interesting. A little later, we're also going to talk a little bit more about race and politics when we look at the feud between Philadelphia's Mayor Michael Nutter and his predecessor, John Street, who says Nutter isn't black enough to be Philadelphia's mayor. That's something. That's a lot later in the program. Ken, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Michelle.
Ken Rudin is NPR's political editor, and please stay with us.